下的一车呢是那个自吸装置 Bring Your Own Devices， 我们都欢迎 Daryl。
Hello. Welcome to our Plugfest here at Taipei. On behalf of our Windows, our Cloud and Enterprise Interoperability and Tools team. So I want to welcome you here and thank you for welcoming me. It's a pleasure to be back in Taipei. I'm very happy to be here and to meet with you. So I did want to tell you a little bit about the BYOD and RDP applied interop scenarios. We'll talk about tools. As an owner of some of the support areas and events, we'll refer to some of those resources as well. First of all, as Neil mentioned, we do have our open specification resources. And so for this presentation, I will take a little bit of time and talk about a few of the specifications that are available to you and relevant in the area of what we call this BYOD, or bring your own device scenario that we're covering. And I'll talk very briefly about the RDP, or as we have branded at Microsoft, the Remote FX set of protocols as well. I'll also provide a bit of an overview of some of the resources that are available to you at your hands as protocol implementers. So, and as Neil said, I do understand there are a number of you that are interested in particular some of the RDP and thin client areas. So as device manufacturers, hopefully this is useful to you. For our Windows 8.1 and Windows Server 2012 R2, we have a spring update. Some of you may have downloaded on 8.1. If you notice the new OneNote will appear on your desktop, which is nice. It's included with the update. So, and as part of that, I'll just mention very briefly, steal a little bit from our office team, that the OneNote protocols are included along with the open specifications on behalf of the Windows 8.1 spring update. So since they're included, they're now covered as Windows protocols in the sense that the Office protocols are included in Windows now, shipping. However, I wanted to highlight these few here for the BYOD scenario in particular. ECS, or the client Enterprise Client Sync, which is focused on the work folders that we'll talk a little bit about that scenario today for you. One note, you'll see an asterisk that this file set version comparisons algorithm document, which is basically the underlying framework that is used by the client sync. So that framework is documented as well. We just released that as part of the spring update in our preview specifications node. So I wanted to make sure that you have that reference so that you need to check that periodically. We had some updates recently as last month, that were on the preview specifications for some of the other documents that I mentioned here that are now included in the full library. So two highlights. One is the ADFS area, the Active Directory Federated Services. That is one of the areas used to implement the BYOD scenario. So you can be aware that those specifications are published to cover some of the requirements. The MDM, or Mobile Device Management, is a scenario that's also part of this BYOD scenario. We won't be talking in depth about that today. That may be another reason to come to our next event. But that is another a piece of that area. Do expect a BYOD overview document. You may have heard that in some of our other presentations. I'll give you a link at the end that you can find a lot of information about our specifications in these overview documents. So expect a scenario overview before too much longer to be released in our specifications. We do have all of our documents now in one set. I just wanted to highlight that. As Neil said, you download them as PDFs. When you go up, you can download all of them. In the past, you may have seen more than one library, but for the purposes of Windows, they are now included in one set that you can download. You can assert, of course, individually select the documents from the web, but you can also simply download the set. This slide is included for your reference only. I don't intend to go through the list, but for the RDP protocols or remote desktop protocols, there are a couple of fundamental specifications that you would refer to, BCGR, which is your basic connectivity and graphics is a fundamental specification. There is an overview document as well. Please refer to this for more information about the details of the protocols that are available for implementation. As I said, we want to talk a little bit about what the BYOD scenario is. To set up the background, many of you are bringing your devices with you, your Android devices, Samsung, I should say HTC, great company, love it very much. Lots of devices in use today. Those devices present you with an opportunity to use your tools personally. They present IT with a problem. How do we control our corporate information with these variety of devices? Herein lies a challenge moving ahead. The users, us, you as people, come in with the location at work or throughout your personal life. And you have, of course, as we just said, a variety of devices, whether it be Apple or Android, the whole variety, Windows, and the apps that go along with them, which is what is so compelling about having a device. It's all about the apps in today's world. So the challenge there is the data. And herein lies your requirements from your IT facilities for businesses. They are required to comply, reduce risk, and secure the data. That is the number one concern from their perspective. So these challenges are what are you're going to have to deal with in today's world. Managing the access that is provided to individuals as they use their various devices to access data in these environments, and to work effectively with a variety of devices throughout your network environments, and to unify that environment across the various devices for on-premise or in cloud access. And of course, as we said, the number one goal for a business is to protect the data. One scenario that Microsoft has implemented early now is the client synchronization that we mentioned earlier to facilitate work folders on a file server. As you may be well aware, there's a lot of SMB, some people mentioned interest in SMB, file sharing. Some of you may work in that area. The file server functionality has been around, but the problem has been limitations to use those devices to access your files in a work environment. The work folders are not intended to be a consumer service at this time, but they will give you some supplement, as I'll show you in the scenario, to allow some collaboration, to establish some structure around granting rights so that data is safely encrypted and securely accessed through proper authentication. And that's coming up in our explanation. For comparison purposes, many of you have heard of SkyDrive, right? It's now OneDrive. Don't ask me why these things change so quickly, but it is consistent with the theme of, I will say it's consistent with the theme of One Microsoft, but OneDrive is the consumer methodology for accessing the public cloud. The work folders fit into this scenario. The Office team will explain more about SharePoint, of course. It has some capabilities for you to utilize your work files. But traditional SMB file servers are not accessible by your device. So you can't bring your iPad into work and go ahead and try to access a shared file on the network. It's not facilitated. With work folders, you can. So herein lies a potential solution. So the components in the file sharing environment include your file and storage roles, shared server resources, so that you have a way to map a file system to some network accessible location, which users and groups are provided access to through some policy or methodology. And then you want to be able to synchronize your files across the various devices. And as you can see in this environment, you have your various devices of the types that you're familiar with, not just a PC, but also your tablets, to be able to then access a redirection through a URL to a file server. And security is provided through standard authentication mechanisms, including Kerberos, and your Active Directory, in this case, ADFS, federated security, is what is actually giving you your authentication mechanisms and facilitating your authentication. And then we have to deal with data management for your file server. When this is deployed, you're going to have some sort of a group policy mechanism, either for an opt-in methodology or there may be a mandatory group policy. So in the Windows world, you may be familiar with the GPOL. We've documented some of those for interoperability purposes, but group policies are used for the case of mandatory application for some of these, in particular the work folders scenario. And there is a capability of doing auto-discovery for a user's email address to determine where they would be accessing their work folders. So that way, when I, the user, log in and I go to my work folder, which is equivalent to my user home locations for my documents folders, then I'll automatically be mapped to that in a meaningful file location from Windows. As we said, there's a requirement for an end-to-end security model, and we'll get into that just a little bit more. As Andrew was talking about a little bit earlier, OAuth is one of the pieces in this case for the ADFS implementation that facilitates, in this case, some of your authorization. The file server is used for storage, of course, and then your devices, which will have a password that, again, you're going to have some sort of policy application that is mandatory, potentially, to do things such as locking your device, establishing encryption, and those types of operations. This is going to give you the accessibility you need to your production files through work folders in this case. One of the things that I'm not getting into in detail here, but the issue of authorization that Andrew alluded to earlier is part of the process for the rights management piece that we note briefly here. And there's another whole area there which we will get into in our next event. So as a takeaway, remember that you've got with work folders, you've got an easy way to deploy this functionality to manage a simple list of accessing existing legacy file technologies, including the SMB protocols, and maintaining your organizational data. And IT has the option to access that data, control that data, and provide an end-to-end security for you. So Active Directory, again, as I mentioned, is what, in this case, ADFS, is what is providing our fundamental authentication. There's a workplace join, which is a lightweight version. Some of you might be familiar with joining a domain in the traditional AD environment. This is a lighter weight methodology. And then a single sign-on, as Andrew said and alluded to, so that the user can sign on from their application and they don't have to be prompted for other log on to this device that is already registered. And this way, the user can work from wherever they need to be and still be under the IT governance and following those procedures. And there's a factor of authentication. In IT, you're not going to simply want to have a single factor in authentication, but you're going to want to have the user identification and authentication, but then you're also going to want to have some sort of methodology, in this case, a physical device for a claim that would be another factor of authentication. The businesses are going to set access control based on this. The user, the device, and their location, and they can choose to utilize other factors for authentication as well. Basically, as a developer can build apps that deliver this single sign-on as well. So although this is a single scenario we've shown you today, this workplace folders, that would certainly be something that could be implemented across other applications. Taking into account the public cloud, a Microsoft cloud, for example, and as well as an on-premise environment for IT, then the user may be at some location, such as a coffee shop, accessing resources, whether it's in the public cloud, the Microsoft cloud, or in this case, the on-premise environment, the IT and controlled environment. The user could also be at home and, again, have access to all of their environments, and, of course, come with their device, their various devices, to access the work environment, but also have access to the public cloud and Microsoft cloud. In today's world, that is realistic. Whether you're using Hotmail, Gmail, whatever it may be in the cloud, Facebook, all of these applications may be accessed by users wherever they may be located, including their work environments. So that is the goal here. But when you're doing so, the goal is to not just allow access to these resources, but to do so safely with devices that are known and identified, as we said, a factor in the user's authentication or a claim. And on-premise resources are going to require authentication of a known user, and as we said, not only the user themselves, but the factor of their device will be known. And this way, all of these scenarios can be operated securely, so the company can manage their risks associated with a user bringing in some set of devices for accessing resources and also doing so from various locations. So this is the challenge, as we said earlier, and some of these scenarios for BYOD will give some ability to mitigate against those risks. A workplace join is, as we said, a sort of a lighter weight version of joining a domain that you may be already familiar with in the IT world. And this is the second factor of authentication. It associates a device with a user. So the device claimed stored in the ADFS system will be recognized. In the past, if you were not joined to AD, you did not have access to your Active Directory environment. So you had limited access. So if you had your even Windows RT, for example, it did not have the ability to join a domain. Same with your other tablets or devices. The workplace join device gives a more limited of scope of access in the domain environment, but it does provide some methodology to give some authentication and then thus a secure access method. Of course, you're already familiar. We won't talk about domain join in detail, but I will refer you to our specifications, including our Active Directory overviews and presentations at the link I'll provide at the end of this presentation. And you can look more at the details of how a domain joined system already operates. So the ADFS device registration services, as we said, we need a factor for the physical device itself for authentication. The services can be hosted on-premise for Windows Server 2012 R2. This is supported. And you don't have to have a change to the domain controller or upgrade. It simply requires a schema item from ADFS in particular. So that is what I intended to cover for the BYOD scenario briefly today. I did want to provide just a quick thumbnail overview of some of the device references for our remote desktop protocol, RDP. In the scenario, as you may well know, Microsoft now delivers a iOS and an Android client that allows you to utilize as an RDP client. There's certainly a number of thin client implementers, some of who are, I know, represented here today. I know and have met a number of you. So those thin devices participate in the services that Microsoft delivers, in particular through Windows Server, remote desktop services providing as a host, or a simple Windows, any Windows system with current versions that also support those protocols. And RDS, the remote desktop services, are hosted in Azure as well. Provided a link to that, you can take a look at that further. The enabled devices, as we said, there's a number of implementers now for the remote desktop protocols in clients. And those are certified. There's a certification process. And I did include our owner contact here, as well as the website link for you to refer to. Brief highlight of the RDP features, particularly in 8.1. There is a H.264 and thin client mode for codec, and I'll refer you to a more detailed summary of the references to that. Did want to highlight that there is a UDP-based transport. As we talked about, Neil mentioned, Brian will be, and actually Tarun as well from our support team, they will be demonstrating more of the on-the-wire protocol behaviors. We also have our test suite developers here, our team, and they have some test environments and virtual environments available that demonstrate the use of those test suites. And I'll provide at the end of this presentation a link where you can get a hold of those tools. As I mentioned, this slide is simply included for your reference as RDP implementers. It's just a brief summary of all the various codecs that are available, the requirements based upon your RDP protocol version that is implemented. These are what Windows in particular would expect. So refer for more details to the specifications themselves. And for more information about RDP, go to the RDS blog or the wiki. There is also a link to our DocHelp alias, which our escalation engineers are at the other end of that alias, although this week they're here in person. So if you do have questions, I want to take this opportunity to request that let us know if you have questions, technical questions about the specifications, how the protocol interoperates. If you'd like to know about our tools that are available, please do get a hold of myself or one of our escalation engineers or developers while you're here this week. We have a variety of people who are here, and we're more than happy to talk to you about your questions. And if you're just inquiring about the certification process or have a, for example, an RDP implementation that needs to be released. We've got the RemoteFX partners alias here referred to as well. As I said, we do have a variety of tools available to you. Our Applied Interop page, please go there. You'll find a link to a download for our test suites and tools such as Neil presented earlier, Message Analyzer, Network Monitor, Parsers, and other tools available. The documents themselves, as we talked about, the open specifications and preview specifications. And finally, we do have a list of recordings and other training. Speaking of which, this PlugFest, again, thank you for attending. We do hold these on a regular basis and try to include opportunities for you to test implementations, to interact with the other developers, and interact with our product team and test team developers as well. Look for our Channel 9 channel. We have dedicated for the purpose of the PlugFests with a recording of all of our previous presentations. So that's a great resource if you want to learn more about the SMB 2 and 3 protocols and what answers our developers have provided with regard to implementation questions. Just a brief picture and a couple snippets from our PlugFest on campus last year in June. We, in particular, have quite a community of SharePoint and file sharing, or SMB 2 and 3 implementers. Probably one of our larger areas, other than the client developers, the devices manufacturers here in Taipei, would probably be a pretty large community as well. But certainly you're welcome to come to Redmond. We will have another RDP-focused event as well in the fall. One of our other very large events is the SNEA, Storage Developers Conference, and PlugFest, held every September. These are a few shots from our previous event. Lots of people interacting, working on their implementations, testing. A lot of activity in that room. It gets very loud in there, I'll tell you, with all those servers running and devices. Quite a lot of work being done. These are some of the folks who may be familiar to you who attended the event. And Microsoft, of course, works with NetApp to underwrite the PlugFest event in particular. Thank you for attending again, and this is hopefully a group of resources that might be useful to you. Please let me know, do you have any questions? Great. Well, thank you, and again, please don't hesitate to ask if you'd like access to any of our tools or have a question about them, any technical questions about protocol interoperability, and we'll try to direct you to the correct resource. 谢谢 Dara.